Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Samantha, it's so good to see you. I have to know, after we met at the NRA show back in May, you know, take me back to 2000 and the Namib Desert. What were you even doing out there?
Hello, Jeff. I was young with no responsibility and traveled in the desert for 5 months. And the only way for us to discover and experience the very enigmatic, very remote Skeleton Coast was to walk 75 miles, which took us 7 days to get there and back through the Namib Desert. What, as one does when you're young and a bit stupid, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, just being out in the desert, and maybe for people a little context of where you're actually from, if they haven't picked up on the accent already.
I am on the very, very southern tip of Africa. So from my home, I can actually see both the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. So I'm in Cape Town, South Africa.
That's amazing. I love meeting people from around the world. We're going to talk about a chef's secret weapon that doesn't get enough exposure, in my opinion. And again, after getting to see the product, I was blown away. I mean, I have had this next to my stove ever since the show, and it goes on almost everything. It goes in my water because we do reverse osmosis, and that is salt. That is what we're talking about today, but not just any salt. This is Oryx Desert Salt, some very incredible stuff. So, Samantha, you know, how did Oryx, the name, actually come to be, and how did the brand actually start?
So firstly, a friend was looking for a food product with a spiritual quality, and he ended up meeting the daughter of the salt pan owner, but didn't want to spend the time, the effort, and the energy to create a brand. And I'm now 15 years into the journey. And having had this incredible experience in the desert, I also had very close encounters with these magnificent gazelle, these antelope called Oryx, who can survive the desert by, they have to lick salt frequently, but they don't have to drink water. The salt is so essential for their survival in the harsh conditions of the Kalahari Desert. And I, 7 years later, I chose to start creating a brand from the salt that comes from the Kalahari Desert. And it felt very synergistic that these beautiful creatures become the logo and the ambassador for the salt.
But how did you actually find the salt, right? Was it just stumbled upon? Was it with the Oryx? Like, how did you actually find those salt beds that actually sparked, you know, the whole genesis?
So they were two actually separate events. It was a friend of mine. So like you, once I started using the salt, there wasn't any going back. And so because this friend wasn't making the product available in South Africa for South Africans to use, that to me felt a little bit, you know, off. Like, if there's a beautiful product that comes from the country, surely the people who come from the country should have access first, right? Rather than exporting it to another country. I had an NGO where we were workshopping. We workshopped 30,000 children around the country in rural communities and an upliftment project through drumming workshops. But because of the 2007 crash, that project came to an end, a natural end. And so I was looking for something new to explore and put my time and energy into. And so this experience, close-to-close encounters with the Oryx, and the salt that was not available in South Africa. And I was actually driving past a restaurant table once, and or rather a restaurant, and I saw a bunch of tables outside. And of course, they had salt and pepper grinders on all of the tables. And so there was a sudden moment of, wow, that's an awesome product. We can be on table. We can be supply manufacturers that ingredients are important, the quality of ingredients. And then, of course, everyone who, every single one of us eats salt every single day of our lives. So that just really sparked, I guess, a business drive that I have always had since I was 13 when I got two jobs. And suddenly they just felt like this vehicle of an opportunity to create a business and fulfill the dream of having an amazing big business. And we now supply 23 countries.
Yeah, but you didn't just, from the research I did, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you sold your house to buy how many tons of salt?
I was all in, yes. I sold my house and bought 34 tons of desert salt. and that was how I started. Commitment, right? Like full on commitment.
There is no harder commitment of, let me just sell my house and let's just buy 34 tons of salt to sell to the world. You know, I mean, nothing says let's get the job done. But when you first tasted that salt for the first time, what did you notice? What was it that you said, this is special and unique?
It's cleaner. There's a quality to it that is sometimes quite hard to cognitively or linguistically express. It is different. And I suppose also knowing the story behind it made complete sense as to why it felt different. And so the salt pan and this 55 million ton salt aquifer is in the middle of the Kalahari Desert, which is 1.5 times the size of Texas, to give a sense of scale. And the closest town is 155 miles away. So for 2.5 hours drive from the town to the salt pan, there's nothing but vast expanses of sand and sky. And when we draw up the salt, saturated brine or salt water onto the pan, it hasn't been touched by human hands. And also in summer, at 115 degrees Fahrenheit, it crystallizes in only 4 weeks in a lunar cycle. So there's something that is quite magical. It has this very intense heat from the African sun, and it literally crystallizes from this brine water into these magnificent crystals. And then I think also knowing that it comes from a place that is so remote, it's beautiful, it's untouched, and the salt sun dries and it's collected and we bottle it. So there's no processing. We don't add anything that salt is not supposed to have. And so it really just comes from a magnificent place. So kind of having, and in fact, when I was on this 5-month journey in Namibia, sort of Namibia, South Africa, we ended up, as one does on a wild adventure, on a salt pan at full moon. And we camped out there for a couple of days, and it was the most extraordinary experience walking across the salt pan with some lion footprint in it as well. It felt like walking across a bed of diamonds. It is just, there's something, I wouldn't even really be able to describe it. In full moon, there's just this light coming from the ground, the light coming from the sky. So whenever I think of the salt pan, I imagine the pan at a full moon, sort of in its, you know, in its brightness and luminescence in a way. So sea salt is 13 to 20% saturation. So it takes a year, at least a year, for them to build up the saturation. And usually it's not in a desert. It's on the coastline, and the coastline is usually cooler. And so it takes a lot longer for the salt to eventually crystallize. And then also most salt, as we know it, and as has been harvested and products created from the oceans for the last, you know, thousands and thousands of years. But the question is, what have we done to our oceans? The question is, have we looked after our oceans? And what is in the ocean that shouldn't be there? And it's, I have a list if you would like them. It's not
yeah,
a great.
Yeah, we don't think about it. You just see, you know, like natural sea salt, but you don't actually think about the root of like, okay, what's in that? It's the same as animal products. You know what I mean? Depending on what they're fed or even any food, really. It's, well, that's great that you're eating fruits and vegetables, but how was it grown? In what type of soil? What was it being treated with? Even though it just says carrots, doesn't mean that it's not going to have a different nutritional profile and things that you do or don't want in it because of what we've done to the process of growing that product. And salt is, I started researching and doing more with salt about a year ago when I was really trying to work on like hydration and knowing that you need the proper sodium intake. You could drink as much water as you want, but if it doesn't have the proper minerals and the proper amount of sodium, it actually, you're not hydrating yourself at all. You actually need less water intake if you're properly hydrating. So I started researching, and it's so difficult, the rabbit hole between Celtic salt and sea salt and mineral salt and table salt and kosher salt. And you just go down and down and down the rabbit hole of, you know, what salt should I be having? And what it was, I found fascinating, and now that I've had like, what it's been a couple months since, you know, you gave me this, just this one, you know, grinder, I use it on everything. And I've noticed that I can actually add more, but have a better result than the traditional product that I've been using, you know, just kosher salt. It's been fascinating. And even the water that I drink, you know, we use reverse osmosis to clean out most of it, but I need to add back to that. And I can simply add a few grinds to that. But what I love about it is after I've dissolved it, it doesn't taste like super salty water. It's very subtle. You can't even tell. So when, you know, you're drinking a glass of water, I don't know. It's been a very unique, awesome surprise for me, especially as a chef of salt is what we use. That's our enhancer. That's what we, you know, everything, Maldon salts, there's just all these things that we use. So I was so shocked that when I got to try it, what the benefits were and what it was. You know, what don't people know about sea salt and some of these other salts and some of the heavy metals that are in there that they don't know about?
Mm-hmm. So what you were sharing, what's so fascinating is that salt is the smallest ingredient in any meal. And yet if it isn't in, we absolutely know the difference. And salt is also the smallest ingredient that we, or product that we take, we consume. And it has such an incredible impact on our food. So I love the fact that you reverse osmosis in your water in order to remove all of what the chemicals and what else could be in there, but that you are adding in the minerals and the trace elements, because salt is the original electrolyte. So all of the electrolyte products on the market, their main ingredient is sodium, and hopefully it's a salt that comes from a natural source and it's not a table salt. So if we were to go back, table salt was actually produced as an industrial salt around 1910. Salt goes into plastic, into paint, paper, textiles. It's a binding agent. And so they needed to create it in vast volumes, and they needed it to flow freely. So they started adding various chemicals into it, ferrum phosphate, aluminium silicate, all things that you can already go, oh, I'm not sure if I really want to put that into my body. And they then add dextrose, which is a sugar, in order to mask the taste. Then some ignoramus decided to take this industrial salt and put it into a bottle or into a product and call it table salt. Salt should only have one ingredient, salt, together with all of the 55, 65, 75, 85 minerals and trace elements. So this salt is mineral rich. Of course, it's like telling you the grass is green, Jeff, you know? Yes, all salt has minerals and trace elements in it, but they all obviously have their own unique quality. It's like a, you know, a different wine. It will have a slightly different taste, and it's got different, if you were to test them, they would be same, but different. So the only salt that does not have minerals and trace elements is table salt. And that's because they've stripped it because apparently they're impurities, which of course they're not. Salt without the minerals and trace elements is then not a whole food, and the body isn't able to utilize it in the way that it needs to. And also, the chemicals that they add to table salt stop the water from absorbing moisture. But that is salt's intrinsic gift and purpose to the body. It helps us stay hydrated. So I love the fact that you're putting salt into your drinking water, because any 1, 2, 3, 4 grinds, depending on your palate, in your glass or your liter, or I'm still in liters, not ounces, or what? Yeah, is it ounces of yep. water? But in your water bottle, start off with 2 grinds, add a third, adjust your palate. But almost the more that you can enjoy. And what's interesting, I've actually started doing a new experiment at the conferences, is that I have water and I let you taste a little amount of water without salt in it. And then I grind 1 grind of Oryx into the water. And the difference is so unbelievably, remarkably different. It's fuller, it's gentler, it's like you want more of it, and you can feel that it's hydrating you. So water, especially if it's tap water, but a lot of waters are missing the essential minerals and trace elements that they would naturally have. And if you're drinking too much water, you're actually doing a disservice. We have an incredible article on our website, on our blogs, if anyone else wants to go do a deep dive and down the rabbit hole. Drink less water and eat more salt. So by putting salt into your drinking water, you're needing less of it, because your body is able to use that water and hydrate the cells, the intercellular fluid. And there's almost very simple common logic here, right? Because salt is in our tears, our sweat, it's in our blood, and it's in the cells and intercellular fluid. So this old concept, which I really believe is one of the biggest lies on the planet, salt is bad for you. It's not possible that salt is bad for you when we literally are 65-70% salt water. When we're on a plane, we dehydrate, like we lose 30%, we dehydrate by 30%. When we're pregnant, our blood volume increases 40%. We are always needing salt. And I believe that 90% of the planet, because of that lie, are walking around dehydrated. And I watched my own personal habits. Often I'm dehydrated, but I'll go open the fridge and I'll go find something to snack on. Often it's a salty snack, right? Isn't that interesting? So the body's so super hyper intelligent. If you're craving something salty, go grab a water bottle, put some salt into it and drink it, and you'll find that you actually feel really satisfied.
Now that you say that, ever since I started putting it in my water, I haven't been craving chips and pretzels and those salty foods. It did not hit me until just now that I haven't really been snacking on that. I've actually just shifted to more fruits, and I don't even have a craving for it. Normally I'd be like, oh, let me have a bowl of pretzels, or let me have some chips. When your body says you need it, you find what's most convenient. And I have not been snacking on those things. That is quite interesting.
That is amazing. And then to answer your question of what is in sea salt, we know over the last 50 years we have barely taken care of anything on the planet. We're a little bit of a strange species, right? How we pollute our own environment that we exist in. Firstly, plastic. We know that there are islands of plastic in the Pacific Ocean and all around that are being broken down by the sun, and they get broken back into their little nanoplastics. And there have been situations where containers have spilled containers of microplastics that end up on the beaches. And so if all sea salt is pretty much harvested from the coastlines. So they pump up that seawater, and because it's a low saturation, they've got to keep pumping it up until it builds such saturation, and only then does it start crystallizing, which means it's condensed sea salt. So whatever is in there, that is in the sea salt. Then if you think the cruise liners, in open water, international water, there are no regulations. And so cruise liners dump 1 billion tons of sewage into the oceans every single year. I did some more research around the English Channel. There's several brands that are harvested within 150, 200 miles of the English Channel. And there were 28,400 barrels of radioactive waste that were found that were dumped between 1943 and 70. Which are now leaking. Then you think of the farms where they've used glyphosate and different fertilizers. That runs off, I mean, the one of the worst things that we've done to the planet is use this chemical glyphosate, because it is waterborne. And they have found glyphosate now in rain. So it flows into the rivers, it flows into the oceans. Then we've had industry and factories that have wanted to hide some of their chemicals, they've dumped them into the oceans. So the oceans really are not a clean source of whatever it is that you're wanting to. And it's, I used to love sea fish and seafood, but now when I want to order it, there's this weird, what is the source? Where has it come from? You know, what has it come into contact with? So that is really the essential difference, is sea salt is predominantly is harvested from the oceans. We have the Himalayan salt, which I have still deep gratitude for, because it created the global category of salt. It almost created gourmet salt and salts from around the world. Suddenly it's like, oh, there's salt from here, and there's Iranian blue, and there's fleur de sel, and there's the beautiful pink Himalayan. But because over the last, again, 50 years, it has been, or 40 years, now because of the global demand, it's dynamited out. So then it's compromised, because potentially it's got chemical residue, or even from a homeopathic perspective, it's got the energy of dynamite and a blast. The communities are getting paid $4 per ton, and it is a non-renewable resource, which means that once it's gone, it has gone. And I did, an article came across some platform recently where apparently the sort of central core of the Himalayan salt has already been dynamited out, and they're now sort of reaching into the outer regions. And we don't know. It could be 50 years, it could be 150 years, it could even be 500, but at some point it will not be there for generations down the line. And I think that's a really important question at this time, with 8-point-something billion of us on the planet. Is the source sustainable, renewable? What are the ethics? What are the values of whoever is bringing the products onto shelf? And you know, I think we're a very trusting species, and so when a product is on shelf, we think, oh well, it must be okay because somebody has, you know, created this product and put it on shelf. But there is the very unfortunate situation where so many products are actually a recipe of chemicals. They're barely related to food. They might have an original source of food, but if anything can stand on the shelf for years, besides salt, because salt is the original preservative, it's antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. It was used to preserve meat, to preserve fish. Fermented products, fermented vegetables are all because of salt. so the source of Oryx Desert Salt is this beautiful 55 million ton aquifer, and it is renewed and sustained by three subterranean rivers that flow through ancient rock strata that are tested 300 million years old. And these rivers flow 100 and 300 feet underground and are constantly replenishing and renewing this underground aquifer. So I guess that was one of the, you know, in the very beginning that gave me peace of mind that this is a product that I could put my life into. And I think that was why I sold my house and put 34 tons of salt into it. And then this, you know, concept of what is, you know, how we're taking care of our planet, what is the footprint that we're leaving, what is the legacy that we're leaving. And so we've been spearheading a grind ahead. So this white central piece is a ceramic mechanism. And so when you buy the grinder, you can keep it for years and just keep refilling and refilling. And then, so one is you're not throwing bottles into landfill or needing to be recycled. And I did a calculation at the beginning of the year. We saved over 1.5 million bottles and heads from landfill or needing to be recycling. So that I know our carbon footprint is minimal on the planet. And you are also not grinding plastic into your food with any other plastic polycarb grinder head, which are the pretty much everything else that I have found on shelf currently to date. And those, and you can literally hear it. It's this scratchy, cranky, and it's difficult. And that's because the salt is abrasive and it's busy grinding down the teeth of the grinder head, which you then eating.
I think you're looking at all my show notes because I literally have answered the last two questions that I've had in ready to go between the grinder head, because I do think it's super important. And then that, yeah, the pure water source of how the, from where the salt comes from. Let's jump a little bit to, cause we've hit a lot on the product itself. How did you end up on Whole Foods shelf? I think it's a good journey for business owners, people in the food space that have an actual product. And something is, again, it's simple as salt can be a very difficult category to break into with the big players that are out there, the names that people know. So how did you actually break into Whole Foods and start to create a new buzz around a subset of the category?
Super, thank you. Yes, because I'm essentially spearheading a whole new category of desert salt. So what has been a really big part of my journey is the power of intention. So 5 years before reaching and landing on Whole Foods shelves, I had only then I discovered Whole Foods, and it being a natural organic supermarket just felt like the right fit for Oryx. It felt like the right consumer would be open to a salt that is different and comes from a clean source. And so I actually built my following on LinkedIn to around 6,000 followers. And then COVID hit. And so we lost 60% of our sales. And I just had this moment of absolute conviction. I am not putting 9 years of my life, my house, my hard sweat and tears into a business that is about to crumble and fall apart. And I was very strategic and sort of very mindful around, I want something that is not only going to take us out the hole because we lost 60%, but what is going to elevate and upgrade and change the whole business entirely. And I think that, you know, I really believe that when you know what it is that you want, that providence works with you, and serendipity, and there's another word that I love is synchrodestiny, is that things align when one is very specific and has a strong intention. And so having built up my LinkedIn following for 5 years, I knew I wanted to launch in USA. And I had networked up the previous year and had managed to get the buyer's email address for Whole Foods. And I just started emailing, but I was living on a little, very sweet little farm. I was in COVID So my environment was lovely. I was one of the blessed ones that wasn't stuck in a flat on the third floor with, you know, a bunch of kids. I've only got one son as well. So he had freedom. I had freedom. We had an organic vegetable garden, but like the environment was perfect. But I also just used to check when I was going to rewrite to the buyer. Was I coming from this place of desperation? Like, I need you, I need you. Because that's not a very sexy vibe to put out, right? Or you guys need us. Because between retailers and a product, it's a joint venture. They want the best products on shelf. And I know that I have the highest quality salt, I believe, on the planet right now, that it is clean, it's mineral rich. And then after the third email, about 6 weeks later, the buyer wrote back to me and he apologized for his delay in getting back to me. And I was like, curious. Buyers don't usually apologize. And it took me 5 months to do a presentation. And then in that presentation, it ran over half an hour. And he was just one of those really special, beautiful, humble, very real, very, easy to have a conversation with. And he was the buyer for the category of salt in Whole Foods. So he actually has a responsibility, and he just really understood and connected and from the presentation understood the value of Oryx Desert Salt. And so he gave us a national listing across the USA. So it took another 5 months to get the listing. It took another 5 months to get stock to the USA and land on shelf, and then my very first post on LinkedIn was, "My dream has come true. We have launched in Whole Foods." So that was super amazing.
Wow, that's incredible. So moral of the story, find the buyer of the category you want and have conviction that you do have the product, that you have a solution to a problem of what people need, right? That's really what it comes down to, as long as you have that. And I think, again, you checked all the boxes, because I know Whole Foods looks at packaging. They look at sustainability between your grinder head. And I think it just checks all the boxes. So it was probably a pretty easy decision, if I had to say, you know, from an overall standpoint, if I'm a buyer, kind of a no-brainer, clean, good packaging, I think this would do well. So kudos to getting into Whole Foods, because I know I've talked to some other folks and people at products, and it's difficult, especially in the grocery space. It's very difficult to get into those. Now, you also have gotten into JetBlue. So what was that at the same time as Whole Foods? Was that after Whole Foods? Was that because of Whole Foods?
No, neither. So it was afterwards. I was at a trade show in the UK, and somebody came past with a conference in Hamburg. It's called World Trade Catering and Onboard Expo. And I somehow, for some reason, seem to get this global idea. So I believe that Oryx has the potential to be the next global household brand of salt. It's clean, it's sustainable. We give back to the first people of the Kalahari. So there's a lot of circular economy that happens within the business. And I met a broker, and then it took still a long time, probably 2 years, I would say, before we ended up getting a listing on JetBlue. And now we're just, and actually we got Amtrak first, Amtrak and then JetBlue. Okay. So any of your fabulous listeners out there, have any connections to United or Delta or American Airlines or any of the others, you are most welcome to do an introduction, please.
Yeah, I'll bug the attendants tomorrow, because I'm getting on a flight. But I'll bug them and say, hey, get some Oryx salt. Because is it these little ones, or are these just your travel ones you came out with? I love these little ones. I'm going to actually bring them with me when I head down for this next trip.
Awesome. Yes, the travel shakers are available in all world market stores. And we are actually getting some gifting products in there as well. So the travel shaker, again, like, I don't want to get to a restaurant and not find I have my own salt. And I used to travel everywhere with a grinder in my handbag, but it's a little bit heavy. So the travel shakers are really convenient. They're very cute, But ultimately, they are super practical. It means that wherever I go, I can always have my Aurex Desert Salt with me.
And what else? I saw it at the show. Talk about the spread of the different grinds, coarsenesses, so that way people know that it's not just a replacement for table salt that's super fine, that there is a wide breadth of the product. Talk about that.
So obviously fine is easy for cooking. So in your pasta and your potato water, so we have crushed up the fine. What's very curious and very interesting in the US is that kosher salt has become synonymous with a medium grain. So Aurex Desert Salt is certified kosher, the fine, the medium, the coarse. But kosher in America seems to be just the grain. So we have a medium kosher salt available as well. The coarse salt predominantly we supply for refills for the grinder, because we have put the raw coarse through a sieve in order to be just the same size granules. It takes care of the grinder head. There are many sea salts that are very chunky, and so they can potentially break the grinder head. And then there is another salt that we're going to be launching at the end of the year, and we might have to do another podcast and do a little update on the very exciting next product that's going to be available for chefs, which is pretty spectacular and beautiful, but not available just yet. So I'm not going to tease you.
Okay, it's not available. I need a little sneak peek. You can't be teasing me like that without giving me a little bit, especially when you say it's designed for chefs, just a little sneak peek of behind the curtain what it is that you're working on.
So we do love to have this experience of sprinkling crystals on top of our beautifully medium rare filet, right? So think about it in those terms.
And when you said end of this year?
End of the year, yes.
I cannot wait to get my hands on that, because I know it's one of the biggest things that chefs always, you know, you hear some are like, I use, you know, kosher salt, others used, I think it's diamond crystal. Like those are the two you hear all the time. Unless they're doing like finishing salt, the Maldons and whatnot. Very, very interesting.
And the Maldon crystals are beautiful. They are, you know, all absolutely perfect pyramid shaped. And that's because it is actually boiled and processed. Whereas we're going to be coming up with a product that is hand harvested and just spectacular.
any chefs or any collabs that you've been working with on any chefs or any, what's the general feedback that you're hearing from, you know, obviously the general public has had more access to it, but do you have restaurants using it? And again, it doesn't be in the US, but what's the general feedback from, you know, a culinarian?
So, I mean, we're on 3,500 restaurant tables across South Africa. We have some manufacturers of charcuterie, of crisps. We've got many chefs in South Africa that only use Aurex Desert Salt, because it's just got this really full flavored, some chefs even call it a sweet salt. But what's so interesting is 5 years ago, I had been at a summer fancy food and I was quite frustrated at the response. And then 3 months later, I ended up at a biohacking or a health optimization conference. And there, every single person that I had a conversation with understood that salt was important for health. At, you know, especially people who are into endurance and really the quality of their products are very important. And so I really diverted my attention completely into the sort of the foodie world and have focused on longevity, health optimization, and biohacking. And for some reason this year, at the beginning of the year, I just feel like the timing is right to get onto restaurant tables across the USA. And so the restaurant show was my first. And it is a delightful experience to watch the literally somatic experience when you do a taste test between Aurex and between sea salt. literally it can be any sea salt. And I think, Jeff, you can attest to this, but usually I ask everyone to give me a tequila first. One, because we all know that, right? Most, you know, we've been shaking hands for most of the day or touching banisters, so it's clean. And then they have a lick. And then I grind sea salt on. But when they've had the taste of Oryx, it's like, wow, yeah, that's salty. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And then you taste sea salt. And it, I would say 9 out of 10 people kind of go, that's really salty. And it's almost like their whole body language is kind of going, oh, I'm not sure if I really like that. Because I really believe the body has an intelligence that we cannot even comprehend. And when we have something that doesn't really resonate, the body's going, especially when it's just had something that goes, oh, I know what you are. Oh, I like you. You're clean. There's a really good vibration and frequency in it because it comes from this beautiful place. And one thing I didn't mention is because it is sun-dried and not oven-dried, it still has moisture. And I'm going to send you down another rabbit hole. There's a very beautiful human. Her name is Veda Austin, V-E-D-A Austin, as in Austin, Texas. Veda Austin Water. And Veda has been having conversations with water for 15 years. Water is highly intelligent. And it has memory. So it literally holds the memory and imprints the memory of its environment. And in a way, it's the same as when you have a plate of food and you say grace. You're literally putting a blessing into the food. And the food can taste different when you have a blessing. Or if you have a chef that's in a super funky, happy mood versus a chef that's in a foul mood, right? It's just there isn't quite the same quality. And so because Oryx crystallizes in 4 weeks in one lunar cycle under the stars, the sun, the desert wind, and it's come from these ancient underground rock strata, that is the memory of Oryx desert salt. It doesn't have the memory of what else has been dumped into any other source that you would be getting salt from. So there is that, it's beautiful to witness, and I really should get a camera. Maybe I'm going to do that for my next show and show this interesting, Oryx salt, sea salt, you know, and all the various contortions that happen. And any single person can try this experiment at home.
Yeah. When you're like, give me the caviar bump fist. And I was like, all right. So when I did it, that was the first thing I noticed is I think we did sea salt first. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I mean, it's salty. And then the back taste, I was like, oh God, you know, like just like an aftertaste. And then we did the Oryx and it was just like, it's salt, but it was, to your point, it was clean. I was so shocked at how different those two salts could possibly be. I almost didn't want to believe it. To be completely honest, because nowadays it's so easy. Like, it's like, well, what are they doing to make this taste this way or do that? And it's literally just salt. And now, again, that I've had a few months to actually use it, apply it to different products, and I've learned how to use it, because normally, especially when you're going like on a fine grind with this, usually you got to be very careful because iodized table salt, which is, in my opinion, the absolute worst salt ever. And I don't think I've had iodized salt in, I don't know, since I was like 20 years old, is that I can actually go pretty heavy with it because it doesn't have the weird taste. It doesn't have the chemicals, like all the stuff that's done to it. And so I can actually layer it on and then it just brings out such a robust flavor. We did some dry aged pork chops the other night and I just coated this on there. And when we seared that on there, let me tell you, the flavor that it brought out was impeccable, absolutely impeccable. And then on beef, just everything that I've used it on, it gets used all the time. And then again, not even a couple months, I've gone through, you know, a quarter of the shaker already because it just works that good.
Amazing. Yeah, I don't think table salt should even be called salt. It's not salt. It's fake. It looks like, it tastes like, but it doesn't offer the body what it needs, and it doesn't even have a really good flavor. So ditch the table salt and...
And it goes back to your point of how, you know, salt is unhealthy. Well, yeah, when you're eating iodized salt, it's probably based around, that would be my guess, is that it's based around your everyday iodized table salt. Well, yeah, you don't want to have a massive intake of that because it's not good for you. So that's probably where it came from. And it's just been latched onto one of those, you know, things that's been said. And then through time, it's just like, oh, watch your sodium intake, because people don't understand the science and the actual properties behind salt.
Absolutely. You're spot on.
Samantha, tell everyone, where do they go to? Obviously, they can get it at Whole Foods. If you're on a JetBlue flight, you can get it. But where else if they want to get other varieties and keep an eye on everything that you're doing?
Super. Our website, O-R-Y-X, Oryx, Desert with one S, salt. We have 4.4-pound bags, which are great for refilling your grinders, especially if you happen to have a restaurant. We are available on Amazon as well. And to hear more of the story and the journey of Oryx, to my personal journey of 15 years, how I run the business kind of from a heart-led leadership perspective. I'm on LinkedIn, and my full name is Samantha Skyring, as in ring in the sky. So Samantha Skyring on LinkedIn.
Awesome. I will put that in the show notes, links to where everyone can get everything. And yes, I definitely want to see what is coming in the future, because I love the product as is. And if you're building something for chefs, I think that a lot of people listening to this will be very interested as well. So I'm excited to hear the feedback from people in the community of what they think, and the ones that want to try it, because the foodies will reach out and say, I got to try this salt. So Samantha, thank you so much for sharing this product, your story to the world. Until next time, we'll catch you guys on the sunny side.